Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. My name is Mike Abendroth. And for the, how many times, Luke? The
50th.
Umpteenth time.
50th.
How do they do the umpteen? What's the umpteen?
Umpire.
Seriously?
We need an umpire between us and God. Job.
Okay.
Job 9.
Nice. Well, in the studio today with me is my son, Luke Abendroth, 25 years old. Is that true?
Quarter of a century.
Okay. Why wouldn't you be smarter if you're already 25 years old?
Well, you know, I didn't, unfortunately didn't inherit the genes from my mom. It was mostly on the male side.
I so
seminal headship is what that's called.
Well, we don't believe in that, do we?
I know. Well, in that one category we do with genes.
Okay, good. Anyway, it's good to have you back in town, Luke, for the Christmas holidays and everything else. And seriously, this is what, maybe fourth or fifth time we've had you in the studio? We do a couple
at least
shows
10,
at a time.
Yeah. Maybe four separate instances, but
right.
10 shows or something.
Now, this is it's going to sound serious, but it's not really that serious. If I would have died in the hospital from the COVID pneumonia, not just COVID pneumonia, but the COVID pneumonia, would you have carried on the No Compromise tradition? What would you have done with the show? I mean, all the rights and privileges and everything, all the money was going to be yours. Would you carry it on?
I don't know. I think the wisest thing that the wisest attribute that I have is that I know I'm not that smart. So maybe I should wait a couple years, you know, like 10 years of ministry, then you restart. NoCo coming back after a 10-year hiatus.
Yeah. Well, seriously, sometimes I'll talk to pastors and, I mean, I'm saying it about myself too. Everybody wants a podcast, but 35-year-old man in ministry or 40-year-old man, they got kids in the house and it's a new church. I always say there's plenty of time for podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, if I did it, it would mostly just be marriage advice. That I'd be giving
out. That would
people.
Be good. Yeah. You know what I think
and
you should
child,
do?
Child rearing.
Write a parenting book.
Yeah, that's my plan. I'm working on it now. Got the first draft done. I wanted to give it to you and correct all the mistakes that you made.
So since last time, you have not moved, but you're thinking about going to seminary. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I have. I think last time I was here, I hadn't moved yet. I moved to San Diego about 8 months ago.
Oh, it was. Okay.
So yeah, I took a new job down there, and I'm thinking about enrolling in seminary, hopefully in the next year or two at Westminster, California, Westminster Seminary in Escondido. So
yeah, but I know that thing when you and Scott Clark got in that big fight and stuff, that fisticuff altercation.
Right, yeah, I would lose that.
Is he still letting you come back?
I think so. I don't remember that, but I think I must have lost.
Okay. Are you truly reformed?
No, not TR.
Does it even bother you?
Not really.
All right. All right, let's talk seriously with shop. Tell me, Luke, a little bit about where do you fit in the spectrum if you've got dispensationalism on one side, truly reformed kind of paedo-baptist covenant theology on the other side. We're not talking about baptism now. There's a 1689 federalism with some nuances in the new covenant. Where do you line up and why?
Nice. That's a good question.
That's what you always say in a podcast, right?
You say that's a good question if you need time to think.
I know.
You say that's a good question.
And then you repeat the question.
Oh, it's a great question. What was the question again? I think I just believe what you believe. So what do you believe?
Sometimes Gracie will text me when she's at a chapel or something, and she asks a question. Dad, do you like or do we like a particular person?
Do we believe this?
Uh-huh. And then I just have to tell her what we believe.
Yeah, here's what we believe, Gracie. I think, you know, the last couple years, especially with all of your friends at Westminster Escondido and just sort of reading those guys and listening to their podcasts, it's hard for me to get on board with everything in the 1689 federalism scheme, but I will admit I haven't studied it much. But I do think, you know, when you get to things like Abraham being, in a sense, an administration of the covenant of works, that seems to run into I run into issues with that with Galatians when you have the sharp contrast between Moses and Abraham. and things like that. So I don't really know the answer to that question, but I think I would lean more towards a traditional Presbyterian scheme of covenant theology without infant baptism. I don't know if you're allowed to do that. I'm sure there are people who would say you're not allowed to do that, but it just seems like there is a covenant of grace before the new covenant.
But it's our show, so we do what we want, right?
I guess it's your show, so you do
what
you
want. No, it's ours now because I've passed the mantle down.
Oh, wow, okay, well.
Yeah, Noco Jr. at the helm here.
Okay, See, that's why I don't have the show, because I don't even have a clear answer to that. The answer is I don't know, but that's where I lean towards.
Right. I think one of my problems is I have not read Barcellus as much as I should, and the Renahans and others, Ron Baines, who has... he's not written as much as the other guys. But anyway, I don't know if I'm just that smart. Part of it is, you know, I'm not calling covenant theologians dumb. I'm just saying the Renahans and Rich are pretty smart. But so is Clark, too.
Yeah, they're all pretty smart.
Yeah, okay. I didn't have any idea what we're going to talk about, Luke. I just wanted to get you back on the show again. I read David Calhoun's book, A Sheep Remembers. It was a book about Psalm 23, and it's got commentary, then some quotes, and then a little bit of his own testimony because he had cancer for so long, and it was really tough for him. He's since with the Lord. But I just want to say something about this, and I know you can kind of come back toward at me. I'm listening to the snowplow outside. It snowed how many inches last night? 7, do you think?
7 inches.
Something like that,
exactly.
Yeah. Remember Vance Havner? If I ask you who Vance Havner was, would you know?
The 7-inch man.
Yeah, I know. Southern Baptist, kind of Arminian, revivalistic guy. He was sharp on his feet in terms of his wit. Havner quoted Matthew 11:6, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me," and paraphrased it, "Blessed is the one who does not get upset by the way I, God, run things." This, he said, is the forgotten beatitude. Mm-hmm. Don't you like that?
Love that.
I love it because this is the way God runs things. Blessed is he or the one who does not get upset by the way I run things.
That's good.
I know. I'd probably underline that if I had a book.
I think you did in
what's
that
book. What's your theology of underlining?
I underline everything that I consider unimportant, and then the parts that are not underlined is what I really like.
Okay,
it just helps me focus when I'm reading.
I think some of the Qumran texts do the same thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's where I got that when I visited the Qumran caves.
Qumran. Now, you spent a summer, or a semester rather, in Israel. You went to Qumran.
I did, yeah.
Anything come to mind if I say Qumran? What did they think, believe, the Qumranites?
I don't know. I don't really remember. Dead Sea Scrolls. That's right. All I know. Masoretic. Didn't they come up with that? The little dots or something? I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
Okay. Tell me what you're reading these days at home.
You know what? I'm reading the...
Now, I know you're reading a lot of secular stuff and, you know, QAnon and stuff, but I mean the biblical
QAnon. Come on, man. January 6th, moment of silence. It's dope. Anyways, I'm reading The Gospel Mystery of Sanctification by Walter Marshall. I've been kind of reading through it for a while now, but really trying to finish it up. So I'm about a third of the way through. I'm going to hopefully finish it in the next couple days.
All right, let me stop you there. Sanctification, the work of the Spirit of God by grace. Lots of times we think it's holy living or obedience or faithfulness, which really it's the Spirit of God working in our lives is sanctifying us. And the fruit of that is holy living and obedience. Why do you think the evangelical church is so messed up on one of the key doctrines for a Christian, that is sanctification? I don't even think we know how to define it. Is it because of biblicism? Is it because of where we just want holy living in the church? I mean, I think everybody wants holy living. Doesn't Marshall want holy living?
Yeah, I think that's why he wrote the book. But the answer to the question is, why are we so messed up?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably something to do with Satan.
Could it be Satan?
Church. Could it be?
So anything highlighted in the book that you that comes to mind? I mean, he repeats a lot of the things over and over and over.
Yeah, I think it's just helpful to read somebody, you know, I think Walter Marshall died in 1680, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he really wrote anything else, but he was a contemporary of all those Puritan guys, and just reading him and seeing the things that he targets and calls out as something that is unbiblical or neo-nomian is really interesting. Some of the things that we think today are new crises in the Reformed world, quote-unquote, he has already addressed. So things like he says that people who are afraid that the gospel is going to lead to license, that free grace, the offer of Christ made to each and every man, the scandalous offer, as some say, he thinks that's going to lead to abuse, to license, or some people think that, and he addresses that by saying, or basically the way that they address that, those people who are afraid, the neo-nomians, is they, instead of using language like rest, trust, receive, they talk about making some kind of commitment to obedience to Christ, commitment to following Christ. And we can't just have this idea of faith, of resting alone in the finished work of Christ. Instead, we have to have some kind of surrender, some kind of swearing allegiance to Christ. I don't remember what page it's on in the book, but I'm sure you could post it in the show notes or something.
Chapter four.
Chapter four, yeah. But anyways, there's this idea that the Neonomians came up with that's going to preserve people from abusing grace. If we just say trust, rest, receive, people are going to abuse that. And it's just so interesting because you hear that language today in certain circles and you think, oh, that's just how we define faith, surrendering to Christ as Lord. And although we do surrender to Christ as Lord, we do submit to him as Lord, we do follow him, we do take up our cross daily, deny ourselves and follow him, that is not in the category of faith. It's in the category of sanctification. So I just think things like that are interesting where you see these issues really aren't so new.
It's fine for Christians to want to be more committed, right? To have a greater allegiance, to be more surrendered to God's will.
It's a necessity.
Right. That's good language for the Christian. But we do believe in sola fide, and we have said this on the show numerous times, there are no antecedent conditions to faith. In other words, you don't have to do something in order to believe. You don't surrender first or commit or yield or whichever you use the word like desire for God or treasure.
I don't think that's a good one. Here, let me just, I can read the quote. Here we go.
All right, this is now this is when the show gets interesting.
Here's the Walter Marshall quote. Read that. This is regarding the Neonomians. And that they may the better secure the practice of holiness by their conditional faith, they will not have trusting in God or Christ for salvation to be accounted the principal saving act of it. Because, as it seems to them, many loose, wicked people trust on God and Christ for their salvation as much as others and are, by their confidence, hardened the more in their wickedness. But they had rather it should be obedience. So this is how they're going to redefine faith. But they had rather it should be obedience to all Christ's laws, at least in resolution, or a consent that Christ should be their Lord, accepting of his terms of salvation and a resignation of themselves to his government in all things. So they want to say it's not just faith, it's not just trust, because that's going to lead to wicked living. It has to be a resignation to the government of Christ. And of course, we resign ourselves to the government of Christ, but is that how the Bible describes saving faith? And Walter Marshall says, no, this is the Neonomians.
I think, isn't the Neonomian the show out, Matrix Resurrections or something? Isn't
that's
the Neonomian? Isn't he the main guy?
Neonomian, yeah.
Yeah, that's
but
what
he's
I
winning. That's why you know it's a satanic show.
Is he red pill or blue pill?
Because the Neonomians always lose.
The Neonomians have what kind of
blue pill? Red pill is the gospel, free grace.
Well, just to come back at you with all that, what shall we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our own house?
Ooh, what is that? What is that? The message?
Yeah,
I like that. I just gave that away as a white elephant gift to somebody.
Oh.
That's a pretty good one, huh?
I had from Ray a Jack Van Empe prophecy Bible that was genuine leather, super nice. It was a gift edition, and I used that for a white elephant gift when the elders were over and Cooley got it. Tuesday guy got it.
The Tuesday guy was happy with that one. He does his devotions in that still.
He does, and he wanted me, kind of like the Witch of Endor calling up Samuel. He wanted to call, have me call up Jack and Van Empe, and I would sign it like in lieu of Jack Van Empe. So we'd have an autographed copy.
That's cool. Now we need Kathy Kuhlman next. What's her
Catherine
name?
Catherine Kuhlman. Yeah. Why? Oh, here's another question. Since you're going to go to Westminster Seminary, why is Robert Godfrey obsessed with Catherine Kuhlman? Would you ask him that if you see him walking on campus?
I thought it was Sister Amy.
Oh, I stand corrected.
Sister Amy's America.
That's right.
That's the world we live in. Come on, baby, until you disappear. Well, she was the one that disappeared, right? She went off, ran off with the piano player. To Mexico, faked her own death, and then she came back to ministry. that's what you do.
That sounds like what's going on these days with Christianity, where there's that website, if you want speakers, and you can pay for a speaker to come, and it's got David Platt, $10,000 to $20,000.
Wow. Radical. That's a radical price.
I know Chavijan Tulian, I think it's 10 to 20 as well. Mm-hmm. Christine Kane, 10 to 20. Tim Keller, 10 to 20,000.
Have you ever seen the Lutheran satire video where it's the evangelical guy and he's talking to the Roman Catholic and he says, you don't need to do this whole thing where you move them secretly to another parish after you commit these sins. Just take a 6-month hiatus, come back and tell anybody that tries to criticize you, they just don't really understand the gospel and grace, and you've been forgiven. So just come right back into ministry.
See,
that's a great plan.
Mike Abendroth with Luke Abendroth here on No Compromise Radio Ministry. We're going to do a little fun thing. I have a treasury of quotations, Evangelical Press, put together by John Blanchard. Hmm. You remember John Blanchard?
Yeah, when he came over to the house that one time, helped us plant the garden.
<did.
laughs> Just kidding.
That was Daniel Block.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. John Blanchard with the Ultimate Questions book. He gave it out.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder if we reread Ultimate Questions if we still would like it.
I don't know. Is this the royal we?
What do we believe, Dad?
Yeah. I don't think I text you that anymore.
I'm just going to open this up and just give you a quote, and then you just tell me something about the quote.
Okay.
Okay, Spurgeon.
I think our friend calls this No Content Radio.
I call this...
This is called Late Night Pool Radio. I can't think. I stayed up too late last night playing pool. Okay.
Free will, I have often heard of, but I have never seen it. I have met with will and plenty of it, but it has neither led captive by sin or held in blessed bonds of grace. Isn't that funny?
That's good.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Mm. It's a nice principle. The island of goodness around your will.
Why is that? You know, that goes back to the whole inner light with the Quakers and the friends, they call it. And you don't really need much of the Bible because the inner light will guide you. What's wrong with that?
Well, it didn't really work. There aren't too many of them around anymore. How many Quakers do you know?
I know. Well, you know,
there's... You eat Quaker oats, though.
There are fewer Shakers than there are Quakers, because Shakers said no sex, and Quakers said okay.
And they didn't have too many conversions. Shakers.
I know. What's up with that?
Well, I think...
That's why they made good furniture.
Yeah. They had nothing else to do. Nobody's converting.
No evangelism.
No evangelism, yeah. I don't even remember the question anymore. Free will.
No,
or something.
I know. Okay, so
Free Willy.
I know where I know right where we are. I'm a pro at this. What other books are you reading?
Oh, okay, cool. You know what? I'm taking my time through the institutes. So I think I'm almost done with book one. I should finish in the next week or two. Hopefully,
okay,
2 weeks.
What version of the institutes? Calvin's Institutes.
It's the Lewis Battles. That's the good one, right? Not the Beveridge one. I think the Beveridge one's fine, but I don't like to be reminded of drinks when I'm reading.
So. Okay, that's good. I think Lewis when he Battles, wrote the first time he sat down and wrote the edition of the Institutes, he was 25. Is that about right?
Man, that makes me feel dumb.
Yeah, just tell me about that right
that's,
now.
That's really interesting.
Another episode of
shorter.
I Am Dumb.
Yeah, it was a lot shorter back then.
Well, yeah, that's right.
So that makes sense.
Okay, so Institutes, that's good. One of the things, Luke, that we talk about regularly is the response to Calvin's, you know, criticizing Calvin when they haven't even read the Institutes. We had to read the section on prayer, warm, rich, devotional. I mean, I've since read the whole thing, but I don't know what people are thinking. The justification section, it's great.
Well, and the whole thing is great. I mean, the thing with Calvin is it really, once you start reading it, it's like, this is totally written for new believers. Super easy to read. And people are like, oh, Calvin, you know, he's so boring or something. But then you start reading him and he does like a little systematic theology section. And then he just goes off blasting somebody. You know, and then the sophists are going to be damned for this. And then he goes back to defining some kind of theological term. So I think... I had a theory the other day. I think all these books about, you know, here's what Calvin thought and Luther and Owen, it's like you got to keep the book industry going. So we can't really point people to the original authors. We got to just write books about what we think about what they thought, because if people just read them, we won't make money anymore. So,
hard to get a doctorate without some dissertation.
But I don't know. It's just like these people. I mean, I know Owen's hard to read and stuff, but you can read these people, and it's really – I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but it's not that complicated.
Years ago when someone told me, pick a theologian and read his stuff, I was dabbling with trying to read Edwards, and I'm glad I never fulfilled my.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I'm glad.
That would have been bad.
I don't know what to say about that. I just know that I had some. I got to sit and listen to Fesco and Dr. Clark talk about that, and I just walked away with maybe Edwards isn't so great after all. A lot of it was over my head, but that's the one part that I got. Okay, Edwards, not so great. Some kind of thing about him being, you know, not understanding classical theism and some kind of weird animism thing. And then his, and then the other thing about Edwards is people have all these arguments. They write all these different books about what he believed about justification by faith alone. It's like, you know, if you have one goal in ministry, maybe it should be that people aren't confused about what you think about justification sola fide. I don't think people are going to be confused when you die about what you think about justification sola fide.
Luke,
right?
It is so true. I'm thinking about Doug Wilson and why we don't support Doug Wilson or would want
for
anybody to read
Wilson.
For myriad
of reasons.
Right. But at the top of the list is, if you don't get justification by faith alone, sola fide, right, I don't really care what you have to say, short of, you know, you're my neighbor and you're in Vietnam and we can talk shop about that and you can just teach me. But theologically, if you can't get that right, then I don't. It's the same thing with Baxter, same thing with Daniel Fuller and all that stuff.
Well, at least Baxter and Fuller didn't write sex novels. So, you know, that doesn't really. I always thought, you know, why would you, if you believe in final justification by, there's some kind of final justification.
By
why
some
would
kind
you
of works.
Think
why would
that
you
it's
do
good
dirty
to start
works.
Writing dirty novels with quotes that are so inappropriate you would never even read them over the air. And then everybody is freaking out about how great Doug Wilson is because he's supporting fake vaccine cards and anti-mask. It's like you just get your politics from politicians. They're a lot more interesting, and stay away from creepy sola fide deniers. So, I feel like we're just talking, but I forget this is going to be on the air.
I know. What about Joe Rogan? Should we have him on?
I like Joe Rogan a lot more. I would rather listen to Joe Rogan than that. Oh, man.
Okay, so Institutes, Walter Marshall, both of those we'd highly recommend here on the radio show. Walter Marshall's book on sanctification, John Murray said, was the most important book ever written on sanctification. Mm. I just disagree a little bit. I think Galatians would be, but Romans. And so then you have Institutes. Good, so that's old school, going back to some of the original things. What else? Anything?
I mean, I kind of always got too many things going on at once. I'm listening to 1984. It's just kind of fun to listen to, pretty interesting. And then I'm reading a book. I'm reading some different novels. I'm reading Once an Eagle, it's called. It's pretty interesting when you start seeing Big Eva stuff. It's got a lot of parallels between military stuff, people sucking up to each other and playing the politics game. And unfortunately, you see that in a bunch of churches, so that's pretty good. And then I'm also reading. Oh, I know I gave
you this
recommendation.
By the way, you can take your mask off. It's okay being in here.
I don't, you know. You can take it off. Even though I think this is a safe place and everybody's been quadruple boosted, I just feel like if our neighbors drive by and look through the window there in the snowstorm and they see I don't have a mask, they, you know, I might not be able to win them over to the gospel
you know
if I don't
what?
Have a mask on.
Winning people over with winsomeness.
Right. That is the most important thing. As long as people see that we're tolerant, no matter what it is, even if the government says, you know, you need to wear a sombrero because it's
dunce cap.
From the sun.
You can wear a dunce cap if you get up to preach.
It's just to show that you love your neighbor. So we need to do that.
Well,
because
it's not a
we always let the
it's
world
not a sin
we always
to
need
wear
to let the world
camp.
Define what loving your neighbor means.
Are you interrupting me on my show?
I don't think so. Everything I learned you taught me. So I'm just blaming you for
even
anything
bad things.
Even bad things, yeah, that's true. Like my pool shot last night. Uh-huh. But anyways, I think the and then I just recommended it to you, and you got for mom the Ralph Erskine book.
Oh,
Gospel
Sonnets.
Awesome. Yeah. So good.
What's
I wish we had a copy
sonnet?
Of it in here. I think it's some type of poem. I don't know. William Shakespeare has some good sonnets, that's what I know.
Uh huh.
I think somebody should name their daughter Sonnet. It's like a.
What if she,
you know,
could, what,
cool
what if she couldn't sing
now?
And she was like an athlete and she wasn't really artsy?
That's perfect. That's what you want.
Sonnet.
No, okay. That's really good. Just gospel centered. You know, it's like it's all poetry. But it's systematic theology in poetry form, but it's all these antinomianism, neonomianism, free offer of the gospel, sanctification by faith, why we always go back to works,
Adam,
all these different
head,
things,
covenant
how,
of
how
works.
To be sanctified. It's like every page. I think actually it was John Patton's, something about either his favorite or one of his favorite books that he brought with him to the New Hebrides, you know, because he's a Scottish guy and he's got the Bible, obviously, and then he's got Ralph Erskine's Gospel Sonnets.
Do you ever abbreviate Covenant of Works as COW? You ever say COW?
Yeah. Every day.
Hey, Luke, thanks for being on the show. My name is Mike Avendroth with Luke Avendroth here. If you ever want to get a hold of Luke, you can write me, mike@nocompromiseradio.com. I almost couldn't pronounce my own radio show's name.
Well, that's how it goes.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Avendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400.